somebody.
Hey, what's up? My name is Marty. I'm an alcoholic, and my sobriety date is May 28th, 2009. I have a sponsor, and I'm available to sponsor others. And there's been a couple of people that's been instrumental in my recovery, and one of them is Richard, and I'm gonna have him speak for me. And you know, I met him and Steve when I was going to the old school group when I was detoxing. I went there, and you know, I kind of picked the old school group because where I come from, old school is like a cool thing, you know, a slang, but really should have been called like one foot in the grave meeting or something. But you know, no offense to any, I don't see any. Okay, but anyway, so it was kind of, but there was a couple young people in there, and I didn't find them, they kind of found me. It was all kind of foggy, but I do remember one thing. I remember when I got home that night, you know, I had someone call me because I wasn't going to call anybody, and Rich called me, and I specifically remember that, even though, like I said, I was in a fog, and it was because that was one of the reasons why, you know, I kept coming back. And I truly believe if it wasn't for him, that I wouldn't be here now. So, without further ado, I'd like to welcome Rich. Come up and speak for me, please.
Hey, guys. I'm Rich, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is May 11th, 2008. This is my home group. I have a sponsor, and I sponsor others. Ooh, I'm always so nervous speaking in front of people. You know, I remember meeting Marty, and my sponsor was the one who pushed me to go talk to him. I was like, I don't know about that guy. He's a, you know. but, you know, I'm glad I did it, because today he's like one of my best friends, and it's awesome. Congratulations, man. Congratulations to you, Monica, and Laura, whoever you are. Thanks for speaking. You know, I related a lot to your story. Let's see what it was like. Well, growing up, you know, just like everyone says, I felt like I didn't fit in. My mom said I was really happy, but I don't know if it's, you know, because she's my mom, but... I just, you know, remember feeling really weird, and I would ride around the block, and I'd watch all the kids in the neighborhood, and I felt like I didn't fit in, like, you know, but like it was in my head, you know. I never went up to talk to them. I lived in my head. I love playing sports because they could get me out of my head, you know. I love being energetic. I'm a pretty hyper guy. Let's see. Grew up in Buffalo, New York, and came from a pretty normal family. Shoot, I always blank out something. all right, well, the first drink was, we'll go to that. We'll sip to that part. Because that's all that other stuff don't matter. Let's see. So I was, there was a few times I drank before and I didn't really like it. You know, I never could stomach beer at first. And then I remember I was a freshman in high school, and my friends brought over a bottle of Sky Vodka. You know, I'll never forget that bottle. That was amazing. And, you know, I talk about it like it was like my mother or my fiance, you know, because I loved it that much. You know, that first time, it loosened me up. I was able to, you know, talk to females. I was able to, you know, I didn't really care what you thought about me. That experience, you know, I pictured it in my head a lot, and I was always trying to catch that. You know, that first time, I ended up, meeting hooking up with ladies for the first time, and I don't know, that I equated alcohol and women, you know, so I was like, this is it. I don't have to ever worry about nothing ever again. I don't care about baseball, I don't care about, you know, and my family, unfortunately. But like high school, you know, after that first year, you know, I didn't drink that much more because I couldn't get my hands on it. But, you know, after that, I knew that, like, I'd try to get alcohol whenever possible. So I ended up convincing my mom to send me to a public school. I went to a Catholic school my whole life. And, you know, I thought I was sheltered. I blamed her. But, you know, she wanted me to have the best education I could have and, you know, teach me a life of having values. And I appreciate that today, but at the time, I didn't see it. So I ended up going to the public school, and that's where I realized that I'm like, oh, now I fit in. I'm like, you know, because I found the kids that were just like me, the ones that partied, and I would drink on the weekends, and every time I drank, I would drink as much as I can to get wasted. I didn't care. I never drank normal. I don't ever remember drinking normal. I guess, like, when other people started to see I had a problem was the year after I started drinking every day, on spring break, and my parents would be like, what's wrong with you? You know, you're drinking every day. Is there a problem? We want to send you to a rehab. And I was just like, no, you know, they were like, it runs in the family. And I didn't know what they were talking about. I was like, just, it didn't click. You know, I was like, everyone does that, you know. And I don't know, they let me slide. Moving on in high school, it just progressively got worse. I drank daily, and there was all different periods, I guess. Like, I was sometimes a weekend warrior, like they say, and then there was times where I drank every day, you know. The good thing is I did get my diploma, and but I remember that year that, like, life started getting worse. I was feeling depressed in that, and I thought it was because of this relationship I was in, and I thought that it was because of her that I drank that way. And, you know, I was always blaming everybody. So I ended up going to college. I'm like, well, I'm going to move away, and, you know, my problems are going to go away because it's these jerks that I'm hanging out with. And, you know, I need to get new friends. I need to meet new girls. And so went to college and found the people that were just like me again. And I'm sorry, I'm tired today. I worked all week and just drawing mental blanks. So I found the people that were just like me, and I actually ended up getting into smoking weed a lot more because I was like, oh, you don't have to. I'm not as crazy. I won't, like, be calling people in the middle of the night, like, and all this crazy stuff, you know? You know, and, like, I would just, like, you know, stay at my dorm then. But, you know, I still drink on the weekends and that. And then, you know, the pattern is that I ended up, you know, drinking again a lot more. Started to experience blackouts where I would not remember things that happened. I ended up, the year that I thought that I had a problem, a lot of things happened, a lot of things. I ended up getting in a fight the first time I got knocked out. I ended up crashing my car into a house. Yeah, I was pretty crazy. I mean, don't let this fool you, because I'm just really nervous, but, like, I'm pretty crazy. I ended up getting evicted, and Oh yeah, the most embarrassing thing is I was found naked on a couch, and it was on the front page of the paper. White male found naked on sweet couch. And after that, I had to go to the hospital. I think I had alcohol poisoning, and you know, I can laugh about it now, but back then it was. I was like, "Holy shit, what's wrong with you?" So all these things happen, and I remember. You know, just like Laura, I remember people saying, like, oh, you think, you know, maybe it's because you're drinking. And I was like, what? What are you talking about again, you know? And I ended up, you know, I was just like, I'm not talking to that guy no more. You don't know what he's talking about. So, you know, I didn't like when people would tell me about my drinking. I stayed away from those people. So after that incident with being found naked, I ended up moving to Florida because I didn't want to go back to school there. So I came down here just, you know, looking. I went to USF. I didn't know about the school. I just knew that I was in Florida, and I was like, I know there's attractive women here. And I guess I was a creepo. So I ended up same pattern again, finding the people. But well, when I first moved down, I actually wanted to stop drinking because I thought something was wrong with my liver. I took a month break to prove that I was an alcoholic, and I ended up taking. Because, like, I'd wake up and, like, there'd be bruises on me and just, like, weird stuff would happen, like, always. But, like, I remember, I couldn't wait for that 29th day to get drunk again. And I'm like, because, like, I didn't socialize, I just isolated then. I just, I was like, you know, everyone's going to know who I am as soon as I start drinking. You know, because I couldn't act like who I really am unless I'm drunk. So that first year, I had fun, you know. It was cool, no real trouble. And then, you know, wherever I go, there I am, you know. And after that, I was drinking heavily, blacking out, you know, starting to feel depressed. A night out of drinking, I got a DUI and blew a .26. I know that's, that should have been a clear sign right there. You know, .26. I mean, who blows that? I don't know. That's crazy. I still thought I had some kind of problem, but I always tried to rationalize it, saying, well, if I didn't drink as much Jaeger, then things would be different. So again, I quit for a few weeks, and but I don't know how to talk to people unless I'm drunk. So start drinking again, and during that time too, I tried to like get golf clubs, a bike, and try different hobbies, and I was like, that's gonna save me from not drinking. That didn't work, obviously, and. You know, I tried not drinking Jaeger, and that lasted for a few months, and then, you know, I was off to the races, or I'd just drink twice as much beer. And so what happened, I ended up getting a girlfriend, and, you know, treating her real bad, and you know, because I thought, well, now I need a girlfriend, someone to take care of me, someone, so I, you know, don't get in trouble. And that didn't work out. I ended up meeting my fiance, who I'm with today, and you know, I'm really grateful that she stood with me through all this crap. We're engaged today, and that's pretty awesome. But what happened was, how I came into Alcoholics Anonymous was I was in school and I was taking a substance abuse class, and I had to attend two meetings and meet an alcoholic and interview him. So, no, right here, I'm alcoholic. I could have answered my own questions. But I was talking to somebody at work, and they were like, my father's an alcoholic, and I ended up meeting him, and you know, he told me about his life and everything that he, you know, he had that I wanted, and you know, the way he held himself. He was a successful professional. He was he liked women, baseball, and booze. You know, I was like sold. I'm like, this guy rocks, and you know, just like my friends. But he gave me the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and told me to read the doctor's opinion, which I didn't do. 3 months later, you know, I just was on binge. And I was just telling my cousin how I slowed down drinking, and he comes in, and I'm drinking for 2 days. And, you know, after that, I woke up after a rough night of being an asshole, and ended up calling that guy. And, oh, man, pretty awesome. I'm still here today. I can't believe it. You know, he took his time, and I didn't know why he would do that for me. You know, I was like, what does he want? But he took time out of his busy schedule to be there for me, and, you know, I'll be forever grateful for that. I remember going to my first meeting. I can remember everybody who was there. There was only 4 people, and that was perfect for me because I didn't want a big crowd like this. I was really scared, and you know, remember sharing part of my story, and the guy was like, you know, that same thing happened to me, and I was like, wow, this, you know, like, usually, you know, people would be like, you're friggin' crazy, and like, this guy related to me. But my sponsor, he got me into the big book right away. And, you know, I started working the 12 steps. And, you know, the first step, I kind of knew that I was an alcoholic, but I didn't know what to do about it. So the first step I had pretty packed down. The second and third, I didn't really like those. I grew up Catholic, and I believed in God, and I think it did work for me for a time, but, like, I was pretty fearful of God. I thought he was a punishing God, and, you know, I'm going to go to hell for the things that I've done. But today I realized that, you know, religion works for some people, and some people it doesn't. For me, I'm not sure, you know. But I just know that I do believe in God today, and, you know, before coming up here, I'm frightened to speak in front of people, and, you know, I pray and I meditate, and I'm able to do this, and hopefully carry the message to somebody that needs to hear it. You know, and I do have faith today, and I always know that things are going to work out. You know, I don't have to pick up a drink today. So we went through those steps, 4 and 5, the men's 8 and 9, where you go to somebody and tell them, you know, what you did wrong to them. And, you know, I did that with my family and my fiance, and it was pretty powerful stuff. I didn't want to do that. Those ones scared me a lot. And, you know, I'm still working on that. But I got the most important amends out of the way. In 10, 11, and 12, I continue to practice daily. 10 steps, taking moral inventories. It helps me. Sometimes I don't think that's what to do, but I call my sponsor, and he lets me know that, you know, what's going on. Because, like, I'll be doing good for a while, and then all of a sudden it seems like shit hits the fan, and I'm just, like, crazy. And, you know, when I take a look at where I'm selfish, resentful, dishonest, and I forget the other one, but, you know, when I take a look at that, I get to see, you know, that there's patterns in my life. 11, the prayer and meditation, like I said, I do it in the morning and the night, and I've been doing meditation lately, and that's really helped me too. And the 12th step is the most important one, I think. Delivering this message to another alcoholic, that's one thing I could do when I came here, was talk to others. I'm better on a one-to-one basis. I got right to service work too. I ended up chairing meetings in the beginning because I didn't know what else to do, and I was like, you know, I got to be doing something. I just don't want to be stuck in my head. There was times when I was chairing a meeting and I was, you know, I wanted to go out and drink, and I was like, well, I can't be hungover to go chair that meeting, so I'm not going to. And you know, that's a miracle to me. Service is so important. This is probably my least favorite thing to do, but you know, I do it anyways because what my sponsor told me, you know, I don't say no. I've never said no, and I think that's, you know, one of the reasons why I'm still here today. But yeah, I sponsor some guys, and you know, it's been hard at times. I'm like, wow, these guys are crazy too. And like, you know, I'm a pretty selfish guy, and I, you know, can't always see things from another person's shoes. But like, you know, through this process, I'm able to, you know, be more of a understanding person today. I love my life. It's amazing. I'm going to be getting married in November. I have a family that loves me, and they're happy that I'm sober today. I finished school, and I got a job that I like sometimes, and sometimes I don't. But it pays the bills, and I'm able to take care of myself, and you know, I'm able to be okay with who I am without drinking. I have a blast in AA. You guys have shown me that, you know. Around 8 months sober, I thought I was going to go out and drink. And, you know, through God, I ended up telling my fiance and my friend from old school group, and, you know, they convinced me not to drink. And, you know, the thing is, I told on myself, and in the past, I wouldn't do stuff like that. You know, that saved my ass. After that happened, I was, you know, kind of sick of this, and I was giving my girl a hard time because I was irritable, restless, and discontent. And I ended up coming here. I was frightened when I first came here. I was like, I don't like those people. I didn't know them, though. I didn't know you guys. I didn't try to talk to you. And I ended up coming here and meeting so many great people that, you know, you guys have really saved me. And, like, if it wasn't for this group, I wouldn't be sober today. And I thank you all.